Hello and welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Kayo. I'm joined today with Corey, Smiley, and Crack. Shall you guys, I see you chill. From internet blackouts to ECG to tins and tins. But yeah, we're here. How you guys doing? Happy Easter, by the way.
Ah, Charlie.
Hey, Christ is
Happy Easter.
No,
I'm
Hey! Christ has risen. How did this guy not burst into flames? How the hell does Smiley say that without pressing into flames? Bloody hell.
Oh, man. It's small holidays. We're telling you people, you take up food.
You put sure say candy on the stand there, plus gun.
She not in the house.
Dude. And also, be like your man go church, but I don't want to talk.
Oh, good. And drag me go yesterday, oh, Charlie.
And it's he said they dragged me. Proud.
The guy literally
Christ
said, I hate church.
Cool.
Yo.
What the wrong? Like,
some things are not for some people. Church never matters. Like, I go there. I don't even feel comfortable. Like, man, why did they itch me?
I don't feel comfortable.
Why demons will feel comfortable in church?
The demons that went and they said, bro, they can't mingle plus you. They can't mingle plus you, cry. Anyway, good weekend of football. I think playoffs, if they can't start there. You crack every day. We tell you, say, bring NBA correspondents. Make me do NBA episode. But
Crack was supposed to be giving us monthly NBA episodes. What's happening last year?
Right now, video starts. Right now, we get video.
Right now, you people don't understand. I used to be unemployed. I had a lot of time. I could be watching games at 2 a.m., 5 a.m., 3 a.m.
I can't even keep up, bro.
I can't even keep up. I don't lie to you. Like, I can only watch games when it's on weekends. You know, sometimes Saturday, they play as early as 10 p.m., depending on the East Coast game and all those things. You understand? Sometimes they play at 10 p.m., sometimes as early as 8 p.m. So those ones were the FIFA low. But a regular Monday night, Sunday night, Tuesday, Charlie, I know they fit. I tried once the whole day. I was grumpy. I went headache and I couldn't, bro. Like, so it's hard. It's hard. But when the playoff starts proper, that one is spaced out. You understand? It's spaced out. It's narrowed. And we're going to have NBA when the playoff starts. Don't worry.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into it. International break is over, meaning that we returned to Premier League football over the weekend. And it's a clear pathway of club and continental football to the end of the season. And with yesterday being match week 30, all teams should have played most of their 30 matches, if not a few. But something which is being called the run-in, that's from now to the end of the season. And we have a three horse race for the title between Liverpool, Arsenal, and Manchester City. Now, Liverpool ended up topping the weekend by beating Brighton at home. And the last chance for any of those two to pick points off of each other was culminated with a match with Manchester City against Arsenal. Arsenal going to the Etihad and drawing over there. Now, listen, you guys want me to discuss that match at least before we talk about the remaining fixtures, or you are good to go? Because personally, me watching it, people were saying park the bus, but you know, your man came to set up very defensively and all that. But I think that's a far cry from, you know, what he actually did. We've seen teams that will pack defenders, you know, be in front of goal. And you can't find any space. Like, the ball is being moved left to right, and players are just running up and down, making sure that, you know, it just doesn't come into the box. But what Mikel Arteta did yesterday, by ensuring that City had no space to run in behind, City could not play right through them because they were very stagnant. They didn't press by heart. It was a very disciplined performance from Arsenal. Now, they had their chances for sure. And me and Corey were even talking about it yesterday. Chelsea, listen, if Arsenal managed to find a clinical number nine that can put away chances from people who are feeding him balls like Odegaard, like Havertz, maybe a Jorginho, Saka, Martinelli, any of those wide players, Arsenal will become like a real problem to face. I mean, I'm not going to say something like I said the last time, where Charlie, Liverpool win the 10-1, no, then they can't dominate. I've learned my lesson. That's the absolute wrong way to think. But I personally was very impressed with how well they set up. City did it. Haaland didn't get a sniff to be able to put anything away. And Saliba and Gabriel, I think either one of them should be put in the team of the season just because of their defensive performance. I don't know how many clean sheets you guys have had, but in terms of maybe limiting teams to a few number of shots, their blocks, interceptions, duels, one and all that, maybe their stats could be high up there. But just from that performance alone yesterday, like, hats off to them. Corey, did you manage to catch the highlights? Because you say live games here, you never ever go watch.
I don't watch live games anymore. But I have rewatched the game though. For the
first time. You rewatched the full 90.
Yeah.
So coming off of what we were talking about yesterday.
The whole part of the bus issue is hilarious for me. A team that has the highest goal difference park the bus. Make who go City? I don't know whether people have been watching games at Etihad. These guys have scored in 57 consecutive. Is it 57? I think it's 57 consecutive matches at home. They have scored a goal. We're the first team to stop them after this. we've been there last year. We went there last year. We went there the year before. This is the first time anybody has been able to stop City from scoring at their home. Make who go open your ass and make them eat for your entertainment. Charlie, there's a title on the line that we are trying to win. The guy came and he played the football. He set up the team the best way to win the game. They didn't manage to win the game, but they also didn't lose. And I don't see any problem with that. Like, this rhetoric and narrative going around about the team, about what Arsenal did yesterday, is actually hilarious. Because if we had gone there and we had lost, and Arsenal, this Arsenal, the narrative will change. Arsenal did all that. We went there, we didn't lose. Now, why did we go and defend? Why didn't you play like Liverpool? Now let's look at Liverpool stats. Liverpool haven't won at the Etihad for 7 years. So what template are we following? What is so good about Liverpool? What their openness, their chaotic football? It doesn't always work. So this whole narrative about parking the bus and this utter garbage. We set up the team. 87th minute, we had a chance to win the game if Trossard could just control the freaking ball.
If he kind of cut across.
Exactly. It was. There were chances to win it. Jesus had chances. He also missed it. We limited Haaland to a 0.24 XG over two games. How many other teams have done that? We're keen talking about the guy's a League Two player. Charlie, let's calm down. He's still a great goal scorer. And if League Two player, they score that kind of goals, you want him in your team. So he should pin that. the guy's still be striker. So I don't like. We defended quite well against them. The wingers of the day had more defending to do than they could do attacking because of just the way City play. Like, people forget that the other team is also playing. Like, their tactics don't matter or what. They said it after the game that, Odegaard said after the game that they didn't mean to defend as much as they did. Because the other team, they attack you more than you anticipated.
Bro,
like,
when you thought he had four defenders as a back line. I'm sorry, four center backs as a back
there
line.
There were eight center backs. There were eight center backs on the field yesterday. Eight center backs. That's not by, it was by design. Like, people, they knew what they were doing, bro. And anytime they ask Pep or Arteta about this thing, it's always about stopping the other team from doing what they can do best. The two immovable objects came to clash. Like, Charlie, I prayed for these. Look, I watched Mustafi, Kolasinac, Mecha Saka and Tins. Bro, I have prayed for days that my team can compete and stop teams like this from also doing what... Dude, I mean, I had no problem. We took 4 points off City this season. 4 out of 6. if you had told me that at the beginning of the season, I'm beating your hand off for it. We took four points off Liverpool. Same scenario. Against each other, these guys haven't beaten each other yet. So out of the top three, who has performed better? Everybody wants to do this narrative, you know, get Arsenal fans riled up because we give them a reaction. But honestly, if you analyze the stats, we should be on top. Although we lost some stupid games in the December, we should be on top. I think from this point on, we have tough games. Apart from Tottenham away and maybe the Brighton game, I don't see us dropping points. I think we have enough in the locker and enough players coming back from injury and things for this run-in. It's going to be an interesting run-in. I do think we can do it based off of this performance. I don't see why we can't lock out other teams and do the same thing. As for United, you've had a promise to say we go
score. Charlie, okay. No. Why do you want to lead the conversation?
No, I want to tell you put that one focus. To today. So you start accepting from today. I know Smiley, he has the ball. Wait, he unmuted Mike Benitez. He won't talk. But overall, no, let's go back to the game. Overall, I think we did very well. I think City expected to dominate, which they did in terms of possession, but they didn't.
Possession, yeah, that's their own. That's their own.
They did nothing with it. And also, I've had games like that where we played low blocks, where we have all the possession, left, right. You never go enter. If you enter, they'll head it away. You enter, they'll head it away. And so, as Pep said, if you want to beat low block, you for kill somebody. If you don't, only way. I think it was a master class in defensive performance. You can't say we parked the bus because we don't park the bus for 38 games in a season. We have the highest goal difference. We've conceded 4 goals this year. 4. That's not. We played Liverpool. We've played Newcastle. We've played all of this. So there's no argument there. Give the boys their props or their flowers when they deserve their flowers. They did well against the best team in England, arguably the world.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case.
Mm-hmm. Do any of the gents want to contribute to the performance which they witnessed or happened to glance at?
Me, I need a comment on the performance. All at the talk we say, just as I said a few episodes ago, if Arsenal they come Old Trafford on the last but one day of the season, just make sure say you get 4 points pushing, because you know they leave there with 3 points. So just make sure say if you come Old Trafford, it no go affect your title chances if you no win that game, because you know they win that game.
Make you host party. We go camp. We go kind of can't watch for your day. All the support which you need.
I guarantee. With every added guarantee to you that Old Trafford game, you put on the win. So go get your points from somewhere else, whether it be them Brighton and Tottenham, and says go score them. Because no be Old Trafford, you can't take 3 points for there.
But they tried for Old Trafford before. They tried for Old Trafford before too. To win a title. They've done it before. It's not like they haven't done it before.
Massa, like 20 years ago.
You don't know say football there, so it evoke emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, the boys will be the way Arteta they will fit go play clips the whole week leading up to the match. They say whose moments. I mean, it wasn't Wilson who scored that goal.
I think so. Yeah.
So yeah, it was Wilson, right?
Yeah, they go call Wilson, make it come the training ground, make it tell the boys say, "Oh yeah, Charlie, this one, yeah, small job."
If you call whoever you won't call, if you call Henry, if you call Lundberg, if you call Tony Adams, if you call whoever you won't call, if you call Jesus F. Cam, you know they win that game.
Charlie, see, you go Ben. Why you the one can't evoke some kind of
Jesus? I mean, technically, he's going to call on Jesus, though.
Imagine. You, Charlie, okay, it's okay. You know, be like United Trail or anything, where you go jinx, you know, you see, you know, and Jesus wins it.
I think I was about to like actually dissect the game and until Corey said that nonsense. Right now, it make I don't know what I could do because I was put trying to be objective.
Put your emotions aside and dissect it.
You can't do that. You can't do that. You talk something before you go drop your mic, then you take shot. It's on Kendrick Lamar access you do right now.
Nigga bomb. You
do some, like, nigga bomb. Fuck the big three, I'm the big me. Like, so your mind, they do like, what we do? Like, you just they talk you, then sit, you know, then you find a way in set United. Right now, for push up the dieters.
I talked that in because of what Smiley talked for three episodes ago. He talked that in.
But we don't catch there. No, like we
imagine. You really do like that.
You know what? You just apologize before I'll go say what I'm gonna say. Otherwise, it will hard for you.
All right, cool.
Anyways, then dog piling on you, nigga. Then
me versus three United fans. How this be first time? We're not be able to.
It'd be you versus the whole league. Nobody wants to see you guys win.
But then the team be say, I'm also torn between giving Bangelda the satisfaction you need, wherever it is, and it's for Chelsea over everybody. So I'm not gonna do that. So I just go be objective. Thank you. So people, when they talk that, it just be purely agenda. I don't know why Arsenal fans are worked up, because you guys should know this, that agenda over everything. It's not facts. Nobody watched this game 90 minutes and said Arsenal's intent was just to defend. Bro, Arsenal caught City on the break multiple times. They should have even gone up. Look, the whole game, City really not get clear-cut chances, though, if we are being real. They swallow Haaland.
Only Ake.
Look. Yes, that one safe. Exactly. That one was from a set piece. Ticket it. Like, if we are talking about from open play, De Bruyne no affect the game like the way they do. Bernardo Silva was frustrated. Small now, if a goal win strike cross, or he crosses into the box, either in the take him or he be overhit. That was a defensive masterclass from Arsenal. And it's not as if they came there to pack the bar. So they were well drilled. They know where they are. Let's not talk as if we've not seen Pep Guardiola take one goal lead in the Champions League finals and brought an extra defender on to play five defenders. Like, let's not talk as if Pep hasn't faced City that he has gone with five defenders as well and even two DMs on top. Why are we acting like when you have to get a point? Look, he who forgets his past loses knowledge of the future. Arsenal no one repeats their mistakes every day. You should learn from your past. And they've learned. You understand? They've learned from their past. They can't act like everyday Arsenal. If I play one way, I'll come open my nyash, then you lash me, then once again, I'm a bottler. No. That point was very, very important. And to stop City from scoring in 57 games, it no be joke. Like, Pep was frustrated, and that Dokunu player there, I know one here in himself.
That Dokunu player, what
the wrong? I don't want to hear his name. Tokumbele, if then they talk,
about that guy.
If we talk truth, like that boy, that Ghana boy, we did Southampton, what will be name? Yeah, Dokunu no difference. Come on, Dean. Yeah, Dokunu no difference. Well, like, if we talk, my style of play be the same. The master of play be the same. No end product, running no meter. Look, Pep misses Gundogan like more than any player, I'm telling you. Like, that guy could just pop up in big matches and just score some goal. Last season, we saw it where he was saving them in big games. That guy was popping up, scoring important goals. Kovacic is not the same. Pep is missing that. Pep go buy this boy from Wolves. He's still finding his feet. He not rich. What be name the boy he buy from?
Nunes.
He makes like five appearances.
You know what? He's still defining feet, and like that aura of invisibility where Pep and team get they not get a game because it's easy to adapt to Haaland than it is to adapt to other players in that City team. Last season, he can't bang goals. Because most teams were playing high line against City and that guy was breaking into it. Or there were other goal threats from multiple players as well. This season, City, the Martin, if you watch, if you not be folding, it be Haaland. If you not be Haaland, the goal threat is not really deep like that. It's not spread across. That's why they are suffering. Gundogan was an important and integral player in that. So if you watch City, them are playing, then they lack something. They lack it. And you can see. And it's so easy. Once you have a strong defender, like even against United, if it be we dash Haaland the goal, we score. It's so easy to defend against him now because one, if he comes, his link up play is still not the best. And after his injury, he has lost a little bit of sharpness. I don't know if people to notice. After he come back from his injury, I'm saying he hasn't been the same again because that is best of pace where he gets right now. Yes. Right now, it really they worry them. And Arsenal, Pep can't play four center backs, man. Nobody they talk say Pep too was being careful. Why isn't anybody saying that? Pep, they play center backs for left back and right back. But if he has that way, do the be haram. Pep too not play Kovacic and this one for midfield. Rodri for midfield. You know the same thing. Why people like, yeah, why are people acting like, see, can they play the ball? Yes. Do they know their role? Yes. Were they defending in the keeper's nose? No. Did Arsenal attack to get chances? Yes. Was it 91? Was possession 82-18? No. Why are people acting like it was total domination from City and where City get like 50 chances on target, 10 shot on target, like 50 attempts, 10 shot on target? And all. That's not a game we watched. Arsenal could have stolen the game easily. Odegaard wasn't even on his best form. He was losing balls, turning over balls. He was having a Bruno game. You understand? Saka was off as well.
50%.
A pass from this guy to Martinelli, Arsenal takes all 3 points. Let's not act as if Arsenal didn't play or come to play. Odegaard, after the match, as Corey said, he was like, they are disappointed. And yes, they have every right to be disappointed. He said they came here for the win. And it's true. Arsenal came there, they were confident. Arsenal not come there. This time wasn't like Arsenal coming there and you know it's those old Arsenal that will rule. You know they are going to lose. A lot of people were skeptical. A lot of people waiting, they do white man save. They were doing a win or draw, go and since. It wasn't, this is the first time Arsenal is going to Etihad where they had a chance. And they showed why they also had a chance. So I don't know this thing. It's just purely agenda on my end. It's just purely agenda. So Arsenal fans shouldn't be worked out. But finally in agreeing with what Smiley said, if you become OT, where you not get 4 points cushion, my brother, forget. That Robin and Rob we for you for your day, we not forget. Ferguson will be on the call to the PFA, Referees Association, everything. If you come where they need win, they need help from we, forget.
Oh, this is, I'm
because that game, see, make I tell you something. That game alone, all when our players go be fit. If we go see that Barca doctor where they spin, we'll go see him.
The host placenta, no.
Aha! If for that match, man, players go lose their career after, we go do them. Just come not needing a win or needing a draw. Anything be I go take. But if you come needing it, listen, the word be needing it and needing a favor from us, forget. It go over you. There you go, you're Ghana too. Oh! Guy the name. Go hear him. That be all I have to say.
Thank you. So let's discuss the run-in. We have three teams who are gunning for the title. So from I think there are midweek fixtures later on this week. start with Arsenal's run. Arsenal will be facing Luton at home, Brighton away, Villa at home, then a double game week with Wolves and Chelsea. Wolves away, Chelsea home. And after that, Spurs away, Bournemouth at home, United away, Everton at home. People say that this is the toughest run out of the two because you have teams which are mixed with gunning for Europe. That's between, I think, Brighton, United, and Spurs. Villa as well. Wolves.
With the Unai Emery factor. makes you don't forget the Unai Emery Charlie. Revenge factor. The same Unai Emery who limited Man City to 2 shots at goal. 2 shots.
Corey, may I just represent them? I'm just presenting it. I'm just presenting it.
They were lucky to win that game.
Good evening. Good evening.
I'm just saying.
They were lucky to win.
But they won.
So now they will be lucky to win again. Good evening.
And you know what? The thing you have to learn about Arsenal is that they learn a lot from their mistakes. Normally, when they face you again, they batter you. So me, I just chalked that Aston Villa game because I know we will batter them.
I want to see when that sandwiched in between your Champions League games, because it's a big opportunity for you guys to actually perform really well. So I don't know how. I mean, you don't really have any serious injuries, do you? Because Partey is coming back. Jorginho is fit.
The only player left that is unfit is Timber. Everybody else is back.
Forget about him. Me, I get one request for Corey. Corey, whatever you go do, win the Premier League. If not for you, you win Champions League. Because you go hear this song at the end of the season. No one has snack here, but you know what I mean? Abi Biga, you know. No one has snack here, but that be what you go hear, and they tell you if that recording, unless you don't come.
Corey, just smile, just relax.
After what I saw yesterday, I'm just quiet because I have faith. I didn't have faith last season.
Smile, do you understand the concept of faith?
I thought they couldn't do it.
Smile, do you understand the concept of faith?
Last season, when we were going to the Etihad, every Arsenal fan was petrified. The audience like, Charlie, I don't know whether we can do it. This season, you can speak to, you can even general consensus online. Don't be everybody the way they feel. Like, everyone's like, let's see. Because me, I thought we could win at City. I knew what it was going to be a big ask, but from what I saw in the game, we could have won it.
That'd be why this time they truly go hit different, no? Because their confidence is on 100.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at Liverpool's own. So Liverpool is considered to have the easiest of the bunch because they have the number of home fixtures. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 home fixtures. I think everyone has like 5 home fixtures. But they would be going to Sheffield United. Then they'll be going away to Old Trafford. That one to be tricky fixture, but the way Ten Hag's team is playing, it's not everybody who's fit right now. It's still the same. It's still pretty much the same where the midfield is just exposed, but it seems like it's be a revenge match from the FA Cup, so that one to anything will happen. There'll be a home to Crystal Palace, going away to Fulham and Everton. Fulham to Charlie, then pick up. Fulham, like, they're picking up results slowly.
They have to play Everton away.
Then they have to play Everton away.
In like 11 games or so.
They have to play West Ham. I'm just saying, like, this be them against back to back.
Yeah, so there's 3 away fixtures back to back. So West Ham, it depends. Because see what N'Golo do for Newcastle.
For Newcastle.
You bab. Newcastle too, they lost players. But granted, I think they had a keeper change. Fabianski had to deputize for Areola for the second half of the game. But then, I don't know, they just dropped off. Whatever changes that Eddie Howe made that West Ham took advantage of to take a 2-goal lead, and then Newcastle kind of found the confidence to play against, kind of peg it back there. I don't know. And they're still in Europe too as well. So they may focus on that more than the league. Then they have to host Spurs. That one too seems like, Charlie, it will be high scoring game. But then I don't know. Whatever magic that Ange Postecoglou seems to have formed with Spurs seems to be slowly fading. I don't get that much excitement from them you know, in recent matches, but then, you know, they are not conceding, they are not conceding their position that easily. So this seems like they'll have to drop points. Then they'll have to go away to Villa. And then the last match of Jurgen Klopp's Premier League career is hosting Wolves at home. Gary O'Neill to hit a force, but then I don't know. And so with City,
I don't know.
There's
just something about Liverpool. There's just something about Liverpool that I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't think they have it in them to go all the way. I could be wrong.
They've done it before. Maybe they've done it before.
They've done it before, but like as in this particular season, I don't know. I just feel like right now there are certain wins that they've managed to scrape through. Arsenal, when you watch them, they look very impressive in their wins. Recent months, they've won games 5-0, 6-0. Liverpool, there are games that they have to scrape through to win. And when you're going up against a seasoned pro like Pep in this type of situation, I don't know. You have to be more convincing than this. I just feel like
they don't even have their full team because Alisson is out.
Yeah, also, I think that's also another factor because they've dealt with so many injuries over the past. I think Alisson is out, like you said. Trent is also out right now.
Yeah.
Their defense... recent months they've had to pair Van Dijk and Kwanzaa, and like it's been a lot of injuries here and there. I think they are the only team in the title race right now who is dealing with significant injuries, like injuries to significant players
amongst the three.
Yeah, because right now City, Ederson is out, but I think besides that, the international break, Walker
Ortega starts for 17,
but I don't think those people are out of the 20 teams. Yeah, Ortega is a very good keeper. I don't think City have any major long term injuries right now. Arsenal too, like it's everybody's coming back at the right time for them. Even this guy who they signed and he has the whole season, he's about to make a return. The guy from Ajax,
Timber.
Yeah. So of all of them, Liverpool are the ones who are having to deal with the most. On top of the fact that they are also in Europa. Europa, you go play Thursday, you go play Sunday. It's not quite the same as playing on Wednesday and playing on Sunday
Wednesday and Saturday things. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too many things going against them. And on top, Liverpool are also in the FA Cup still. Okay, United just knocked them out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So
like those two, like know. Nobody get cup. Those who are in Europe, everyone's in.
Everybody's
Europe.
Everybody's in two competitions right now.
Yeah.
Of all the teams remaining. But I don't know, just because of the combination of the injuries and how.
And in FA?
City is on course for the treble. Hey!
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know, but I just don't see Liverpool making it all the way for some reason. Okay. I don't have any particular reason, but I just feel like they look a bit wobbly compared to the other two. So, yeah.
Now let's look at the seasoned winners. Where this be them a bag? They win have 9 games left to play or 8 games left to play. Win 8 games. Manchester City next would be hosting Villa, then going away to Palace, then hosting Luton. And listen, even if Luton go down, I've been impressed with how they've kind of taken it. Because Sheffield United. If you compare both of them, you can just see that the championship be waiting for day. Luton at least are like trying. I think that would be a very interesting game.
Kerry, remember when we started the season and Luton was just collecting goals from everybody, left, right, center? Everybody said, hey, these guys, they are going down. Sheffield was. Sheffield, they are back in the league. Charlie, right now, is flipped. And Luton, the problem. So,
I remember at the beginning of the season, people were even saying that Luton might be the team that finishes with the lowest points total in Premier League history. And now, look what they are doing. Like, it's been very impressive. And all of us had Luton as one of our teams to go down at the beginning of the season.
Those who submitted. Yano submit, so you can't call me big out on it.
So yeah, the thing is, even if they go down, like they've at least entertained us on their way down. If anything, with Burnley and things, nobody. Everybody was predicting Burnley to do well and they do.
They've just been like Charlie.
Yeah.
So what does that then say about obviously we keep on talking about the difference of levels between Championship and Premier League. But then you have someone like Vincent Kompany who really lit up the Championship by scoring that the way that they did. He's a Premier League legend. Definitely will be inducted to the Hall of Fame when his time comes around. Starts applying his trade as a manager, understands the league in and out. But to see the way that they've performed, you know, what does that then say about him? And, you know, the team that he has. Because these people start the preseason before everybody else.
the thing is, I don't think it says too much about him. It's just about the dynamics of coming into the league. Because if you're coming into the league as the champions in the Championship, it means you are the best team, you are outplaying everyone, you are used to playing on the front foot. But now you come into the league and now almost everybody is better than you. So you now have to adapt to being a more reactionary team. And that's where the difficulty comes in. Because how do you suddenly switch from being the dominant team in the Championship every game, 60% possession, 70% possession, now you've become the grinder. And that's why usually when they come up, the team that finishes first in the Championship, usually they are very underwhelming. They go back down instantly. But the team that comes through the playoffs, they usually impress, just like Luton have impressed. Because playoffs, usually you be a very gritty team, grind your way through. So that's what you're seeing from Luton. They are being gritty, grinding their way through against certain teams.
I can even point to Watford, the time when they came up and, you know, it was a bit shaky. Yeah. But then once they found, they're from that team that had Saar.
Yeah.
I don't want to say cleverly. But like then get some midfielder.
The Nigerian guy.
Nigerian.
The winger. Dennis.
The Watford team, I remember Will Hughes. The guy who is now at Brighton, the forward, the Brazilian guy, I've forgotten his name.
Pedro.
João Pedro.
Yeah.
And then there's someone, it's typical that when you come as a third place team in the playoffs, usually you know, even be the third place team in the Championship that wins the playoffs, usually go be fifth place or sixth place because then you grind your way through, you come win, and right now you already make used to that kind of grind. So you make used to playing teams and putting teams in a very uncomfortable position, just like Luton are doing. But if you are coming in as the best team in the Championship, it doesn't translate into Premier League football.
Yeah. So with City's run of fixtures, they'll be going to more away grounds than, you know, hosting home games. So after they host Luton, they'll then do two away trips to Brighton and Forest back-to-back, coming back home to host Wolves and go away to Fulham. So Fulham too could be kingmakers. They'll host West Ham and then they'll go away to Spurs. The Spurs game hasn't been confirmed, but then I'm seeing that Spurs could be kingmakers in this run of games. I mean, they have that experience before, but at the same time, to Charlie, I don't know. Yeah, I still have my reservations about how they've been performing recently. And probably injuries could have played a huge part in it. Son just came back a couple of weeks ago. At Madison as well. Yeah.
If there's one game that North London rivals will turn up, it will be against Arsenal. I admire Corey's confidence, and if it was me, I would have done the same thing. But I am telling you, don't ride that. Look, rivalry is rivalry. Rivalry is rivalry. The way they talk, I'm like, oh, and we'll smack them, and
I didn't say we'll smack Tottenham.
Yeah, we're not thinking about that. I never said we'll smack them. I've seen you being confident and you've not really been confident, but this season your confidence really overwhelmed me and I admire it. But then again, it's sweet. If you lose that, it's sweet. Eh? The agenda goes sweet. I'll be all I get to.
We'll see.
Me, honestly, this seems to be a very interesting next couple of weeks. I don't know if you want to talk about a race for top four. Because, Charlie, United don't seem like they'll win most of their games. Even if I'm looking at it, they're away to Chelsea, hosting Liverpool, away to Bournemouth, hosting Sheffield United and Burnley. I mean, they'll be playing top, bottom 10 teams. But then that last game, or those last couple of games by hosting Arsenal, going away to the Amex Stadium, facing Brighton, and then Eddie Howe coming to Old Trafford again.
Newcastle
has caused the Hag team trouble in the past. So I think by this time, they'll be able to see whether they'll be able to make it or not. But Spurs, they are running, seems Yawa. Going away to West Ham, hosting Forest, going away to Newcastle, hosting Arsenal, then playing Liverpool away, then playing the top two teams, and then playing the bottom two teams. So they could either drop points here and then make up points by playing Burnley and then Sheffield, that's home and away. And then, you know, they are yet to face, or they are yet to face Chelsea and City. So Spurs could easily drop points. Villa as well to have like the a tough running. So they have City away, Brentford at home, Arsenal away, Bournemouth at home, Chelsea at home, Brighton away, Liverpool at home, and then Palace away. If they, I think Watkins is injured, if I'm not mistaken.
And they have Europa.
So
they have Europa as well.
That one to Charlie, it could be a race to look out for. All right. Last thing on the agenda is Xabi Alonso. So obviously with Jurgen Klopp announcing his intention to leave Liverpool at the end of the season, fans and media pundits alike were eyeing his possible replacement. Xabi Alonso has been a bit of a revelation in the Bundesliga this season by topping the league, beating Bayern, and seemed to be running away with it. So
unbeaten in all competitions this season.
They've not lost a game this season. I forgot.
Bundesliga unbeaten, Europa unbeaten, German Cup still in it.
They've been leaving games late. So you go think say yeah. When they lose, but no. So,
yeah, if you check live score 87th minute, you go see say that be 1-0 down and think say
yeah.
Finish the match and we do one. Yes,
okay, so they have been very good, it's easy to say, this season. And let me check something. And Liverpool fans were dreaming, say that Charlie, our boy is coming. Like, Liverpool fans just can't seem to catch a break if it gets to like someone they expect to come to the club. So this whole summer, with all the players that they kind of missed out on, Bellingham and stuff. So you would think that
Caicedo,
Lavia,
Enzo, like all the niggas they miss out on them.
So you would think that, oh yeah, if Xabi Alonso is able to win the Bundesliga, his stock is high, he may aim for a big move to a big European club. But sadly, that was not the case because he announced that his intention was to stay at least for another season with Leverkusen, ending any chance that they would have him. Now, obviously, they would now try and dream of other coaches like Sporting's coach, the Amorim guy. Which other names they've got?
Amorim.
I don't know whether
that's Nagelsmann.
Nagelsmann.
I think Nagelsmann's that'll
be after
contract
Euros.
To Germany.
That would be after Euros. But how do you guys react to the news? How do you guys react to the news?
I mean, for me, I'm very, very impressed and also surprised by Alonso because I can't think of any manager who has been in his position and chose to carry on like in recent times. Because right now, he's probably the hottest commodity in football. If I have to think back, like maybe Jurgen Klopp when he was at Dortmund, when they had just gotten to the Champions League final, they had won back-to-back Bundesligas. And even with that, I don't quite remember any team like vigorously chasing him the way Bayern and Liverpool are chasing Alonso right now. So it's like, in his case, maybe, I think it was after, years after that, we came to find out that United had offered Klopp a contract, but his wife says she don't like Manchester and team, so whatever. So yeah, like, I can't think of any manager who has been at a club, like, if you did, like, the top clubs, like, you're at a Madrid, Barca, yeah, that one there, it'd be one thing. But when you're at those type of stepping stone clubs, and the big boys come looking for you, usually it's very hard to say no. So for him to say that he's continuing, it's very, very impressive for me. And I'm sure, like, even for his players, the type of motivation to give them to keep going, I mean, it's not like they're going to bottle the Bundesliga anyway, but they are still in two other competitions. So, like, to know that you have a manager who is there for you in that way, it's very, very impressive. But my theory is also that he's waiting for the Real Madrid job, because Real Madrid gave Ancelotti an extension till 2026, or is it 2025? So that would coincide with when Alonso has committed for another season. That's what he said. He'd be there for next season. He did. So, like, that, it was very specific. By that time, it's very likely that the Madrid job will be available. Because right now, the Madrid job is the most appealing job. Even aside the fact that it is Real Madrid in the name, yes, everybody knows that Madrid will be Madrid. But the type of squad you go and meet over there,
you have a
very young team full of, like, the hottest prospects in football. You have Endrick coming through. You have Vinicius. You have Rodrigo. You have
that boy who they play.
Valverde. Endrick. Oh, honestly, like, he's... I think people are expecting too much from him just because, like, of the hype. But I see him like a left-footed Aguero in terms of his style of play.
So he's a striker.
Structure. Yeah, he's a striker, yeah.
Hmm.
And he's won titles at every age group. Like, those things, for me, they don't happen by chance. It's the same thing that Messi went through. It's the same thing that Aguero himself went through. Like, so many players with that type of talent, you see it in their younger age groups. And I think that's similar to him. But yeah, I think Alonso is waiting for the Madrid job because it's a very, very enticing job to take right now. So it's very convenient for him to show his loyalty to Leverkusen right now and say that, yeah, he's committing himself. But make the noting say he did there forever, like, eventually he will leave. But me, I'm happy.
Sure.
Because for me, Alonso and Liverpool would have been a perfect match in terms of, like, his style of play. What I've seen him being able to do with the wing backs like Jeremy Frimpong and the Spanish guy on the left, I've forgotten his name. Because look, Jeremy Frimpong is scoring or assisting in almost every game from wing back. Imagine what he would have been able to do with Trent. Giving him that a role like
midfield
that,
role.
Putting him in, like, in the right system for him to flourish. Was that thing in the talks he made, the move Trent to midfield? I know they see, like, it's one thing playing as right back and producing. Midfield is a whole different ball game. Like, maybe one game, two games, Kofi Duam. But being put there permanently, I don't think it would have been the same thing. So if you had a manager like Xabi Alonso, who would have been able to get the best out of him in a position where he's already comfortable, it would have been deadly. It would have been very deadly. So me, I just make happy say,
you know, he will say he will stay.
Smiley, thank you for the diplomacy. But I mean, you broke it down well.
What the rock?
Thank you. My only question is, who the fuck do Liverpool fans think they are? Like, who the fuck do the old fans and the pundits think they are? Saying Alonso is chickening out. I know Alonso is chickening out the opportunity to coach Liverpool because he's not built for that. Oh, fuck off! Who do you think you are? It'd be bad, right? Say, like, listen, if we are being frank, Jeff, Alonso not be your legend. Alonso win better things for Madrid. He'd be Madrid legend. Yeah. Madrid, he go win better things for Bayern Munich. Let me claim him.
Let me claim him for there.
All the years he played for them. You know, the only trophy where it be meaningful will not be Champions League. The rest will not be Kokona and Kaka win. It's more for that. I like, look, listening to this discourse, they fucking vex me. Why you turning down the opportunity to... Club in 9 years away, there or there, not be one Champions League, one Premier League. All the trophies, not one. The only Carabao will be like two or three. You put a talk like for the past like 15 years. You've been relevant, Ama. Come on for there. You've not really been. What the guy did do is marvelous. He has every right to choose wherever he wants
beautiful,
to go.
Beautiful.
And what Smiley said is true. Like, that Madrid job is the most coveted job because succession plan was laid well. The squad is the
best assembled squad.
The best assembled big team squad right now. Because the players saw that my average age not like 22, 23 at least. Like, look at, like Rodrigo, Vinicius,
Bellingham,
Bellingham, Henrik. Then there's a potential of adding Mbappe. Who doesn't want to coach a team like that? Come to midfield. Chouamini did Kamavinga did Valverde did and even they have the senior men.
Naturally,
they have the senior men. Look, I even not mentioned the other player away from City where go there. Brahim Diaz. Himself, I not mentioning names. Who doesn't want to? Like, if you go the back line, self, if they succeed in bringing Alfonso Davies, see the youth they also get for back. Who doesn't want to, like, at the talk, say, if they get the squad, if they get Mbappe and Tenzin, I'm telling you, Madrid can easily win the Champions League 3 times in the next 5 years. Why wouldn't Alonso want to coach such a team? Why wouldn't he want him to make a name there? Already, we got some Amaga, where they, you don't want to Pep. Why make him waste time by the way, you know, say, competition or they spend for him? Maybe two. Zabi, they left. Zabi, they left, Massa. Yeah. To watch our next season,
they don't sign anybody. They don't do anything. Like,
why would that go and go and trophy?
Claire,
trophy pile over there.
Yeah, trophy. Yeah, start part. Giddy. Most points, all that 100 points. We go in the trophy for you. Go for Claire, easy.
Like, why would it? Like, why wouldn't I wonder? Why wouldn't I wonder? Me, it's the entitlement where it vex me. The entitlement from the Liverpool fans, the pundits, and the supporters where it vex me. Like, then they talk like, okay, there is this. He has left. He doesn't want the job because he's not built for it. He's not built for Utreso. He's not built for what? You understand? He's not built for what?
Thank you for the rant.
He's not built for what exactly?
Thank you for the rant. Thank you for the rant. We sure can close now, but me, I forget to say, where to last week. Yeah.
I have one question there. Who has succeeded a legendary manager and done well and been a successful manager? When Pep went to Barca, whoever came after Isafa, that, Villanova, or Adelaide?
Don't be Villanova.
I mean, in terms of Champions League, yeah, then Isafa, but then he cooked the team so much that for the league inside, they were still being dominant.
They were able to sustain it. That was a team. That had Messi. It's a cheat code.
Yeah.
After Ferguson, who did he put?
Unless you go back to Liverpool themselves, will Bill Shankly and Bob Paisley themselves.
Bro, so what Alonso is doing is the smartest decision. Why should I go and take this aged team who's losing Salah, who has Thiago that can't even walk without getting injured?
Because,
like,
you also have to remember that Van Dijk also said, he's not committing his future at the moment.
You might even lose your star defender. Alisson, yeah. If Madrid drops some cash, we anything he go fit Jimmy for them. Why should he go and take a bomb? Because Liverpool, the next 5 years, they go be bomb. They will suffer the way other teams are suffering with this rebuild. They think they can just rebuild. Sabolai and this guy no,
McAllister.
And Endo, then they rebuild around. Come on, bro. Alonso, it was the smartest decision. All that crack said about the Madrid team, eh? That team, they're fucking cocaine, bro. Because if you look at the young guys are learning from experienced players. They let Benzema make all the boys learn from them. Modric still did, Cross still did, Alaba did. Make it teach Alonso the ropes, the things. Militao is not old. Them arrive back to you, grow small, but they can sign players to come and learn from all those players for a season or a season and a half. That team is cooked. Why make I go Liverpool? Liverpool fans for calm down. This Carabao Cup they win, eh? Make them just hold on to us. Because at the time you see all the trophies in left, they'll just bow out quietly. They don't win anything again.
Well, the last time we didn't go on a trophyless run, was the Carabao Cup the last trophy that they won? Like prior to them winning like the Champions League, then Premier League. It'd be like some Carabao Cup be with a chop where they don't chop anything.
It's
in 2012, they win Carabao.
So it'd be Carabao.
From there, they don't win until
club
come winning.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So shall it continue.
Amen.
All right, guys. We've come to the end of the episode. Thank you for rocking with us. If you haven't liked, thank you for all the likes, commenting, sharing on TikTok. That shit is blowing up. We appreciate it a lot, a whole lot. So if you haven't already, just go over to our TikTok page at After the Whistle Podcast. YouTube as well. You catch us on YouTube. You also catch the audio version on everywhere that you get your podcast on Google, Apple, and the likes. Where these are safe Friday. We there at the top, that's in the beginning. Also interact with us at ATW Podcast GCR on Twitter. I am JRK on Twitter. Jar Crack. Cracker, you change your name. You'll change your name. I don't think so. I think he's changed his name. Smiley the Third and Corey Owen. Asalamti.
If I ever change my name, the problem it will big.
Okay. Sorry. Shout out to Van Gelda. He wasn't able to come today, but then our thoughts are with him wherever he did in the world right now. Then he the move played it.
We told the world.
We don't know where they're going, but he will come meet with me and then the group chats inside.
Me, I guess some conspiracy theories say the Ukrainian contractor may go get some weapons from UK. But
all right, guys. We'll catch you. Yeah,
do make YouTube come flag the video, say and do conspiracy for it. So flag keywords.
I beg. We'll catch you guys in the next one. ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen to gcr.com.